It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
Like Mussolini. Mabo, and he just dumps it off for a first down. Rolls it, fakes the spike. And it ends up touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley.
It's optional. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're good. Had a wonderful Sunday. Just snowing out Sunday. That's about it. Hope everybody's good. I am Trey Wallace. That is Chance Collins. That is Brandon Johns. Chance with the blue. I was about to call it something else, but I won't.
Screen filter. Yeah, pop filter. Wind filter. I brought my own pack today.
Absolutely.
Good sickness. To see you. Yeah, man. Good to see you, too. Braved it in. I feel a lot better. But, you know, I'm coming prepared these days to the station.
Let me see those.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead. Multicolored windscreens.
Looks Mardi Gras on a packet.
Yeah, man. I think I got those off of Amazon, too. They're really cheap. You can have one if you'd like.
Oh, by the way, we are celebrating Mardi Gras this year. Here.
Oh, I'm with it.
I'm going to have a king cake.
I figured that you would because,
Bunch of beads.
I'm sure you've been to Mardi Gras a bunch, being from where you're from.
Oh, almost every year.
Almost every year. That's actually one thing that I have never done that I plan to.
Not in the last 4 years, because I've been in Nashville and getting home for a ball.
Definitely plan to. So the king cake?
King cake, Mardi Gras beads. We're going to go full out. The hand grenades.
Is that the one with the baby in it?
Yeah, that's the baby. You find the baby. Yeah, if you find the baby, you get good luck for the rest
of your life?
No, I think it's just a calendar year. What? I don't know the scientific fact of that yet, but I think it's just a calendar year. It's pretty neat, though. I'm excited about that. That's one thing to get excited about after this
weekend.
I'm
not going to participate in your voodoo rituals.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. It's Mardi Gras.
Voodoo.
You're going to make a float.
I've been to Mardi Gras before.
Voodoo rituals, that's
kind of
funny.
That does not surprise me one bit that you've been to Mardi Gras.
The Zulu, parade was pretty awesome.
You went to the Zulu. Okay.
Was that not pretty cool? I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it's neat.
What's that? What's it called?
The Zulu Parade.
During Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras?
It's pretty cool.
I would be down with seeing some real voodoo.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not fun.
It's not
There's
fun.
Some trippy folks, especially on
putting a
on
baby
Joe
in
Kane
a cake
Sunday.
Or whatever. Yeah, it sounds pretty voodoo.
No, that's tradition. You put the baby in the king cake, and then you eat the king cake.
I've watched enough True Detective to know that anything king related down on the bayou is not good. King cake, the yellow king. I don't know.
You know what else is not good? Saturday's performance in Lexington.
Yeah, man, kind of seen it coming.
You know what? Here's the crazy part about this. I did a pregame Periscope, and I was like, you know what? I think Tennessee can win this thing, 80-75, something like that. But then also I said at the same time, this game just feels like
they wouldn't miss.
Somebody's going to get beat up. Like, it kind of just felt like that. The whole time during the day, I was like, somebody I think is going to get beat up here. And it turned into Tennessee's, and I'll have some comments from Rick Barnes here in just a minute. It turned into Tennessee, getting punched in the mouth to start the game, never recovering.
Yeah.
B, couldn't hit a shot. They just could not hit a shot. I mean, so many open opportunities. They weren't falling. And C, I think it had to do with them just not playing their game in general. There were multiple times Saturday night where usually Grant Williams is running point when it comes to offense. Come down the court, get the ball to Grant. Okay, let him figure out where the ball is going to go. Just didn't play out like that Saturday night.
Do you think our team playing Settlers of Catan has made them soft? Like, for example, if they played Grand Theft Auto, together, and that's how they bonded. Do you think they'd be more ready for a street fight that happened up in Lexington?
No.
I mean, Barnes talked about that today in his noon presser.
Yeah.
He talked about that the guys lost sight of getting the ball to Grant, and Grant came over to him and said, you know, if you give me the ball, coach, I'll make sure to make plays for these guys, get these guys, you know, the ball. And, like, you know, they're taking some – he talked about the bad shots taken. You know, he said he preaches – you know, not taking bad shots off bad passes. He was talking about Lamonte taking a shot off a pass that was down his knee. You know, yeah. Wasn't really a good shot. He talked a lot about that, not playing their game. And I think the biggest thing, too, what we've talked about the last couple weeks, where you been at, Kyle Alexander?
He mentioned that.
He said for 3 weeks we don't know where Kyle's been at.
Right. And here's some of his quotes today. He said, we did not play together, didn't answer the call. We'll learn from it. One of the biggest things he took away from it was the reaction from the players after the game yesterday morning when they came in there to watch film, kind of break it down. Jordan Bone stepped up, said, yeah, coach, I'm excited about going to practice. I think that's good to see from your players. Barnes says, in regards to, you know, the performance and how it all played out, I felt like it had been building. It was going to bite us with intensity and rebounding over the past 2 weeks, the way we have not played in certain aspects. We haven't played with the same sense of urgency on defense that we need to, comparing to last season. And then here's the big ones. So Kyle Alexander hadn't been a factor in 3 weeks. We need to get him back, and that's on me. He's not playing with the same intensity and effort. I think he's let some of those games where he got in foul trouble affect him. Kind of sums it up.
Yeah. Putting it out there. I mean, and that seems to be what's how he's been in some type of rut. I mean, his coach is going to know the best, and I love the Barnes. You know, he's going to take the blame. You know, it's on him to get those. He's developed these guys. It's on him to get them to, you know, stay consistent and not plateau like they kind of have, and not really like some players. Kyle Alexander, when Jordan Bowden and Lamonte Turner aren't shooting well, this team is not going to look great if. You know, Grant's not just beasting somebody, and Admiral's not doing the same. So,
right.
Kentucky did a good job of neutralizing what Tennessee does best. But Tennessee also did a better job of shooting themselves in the foot by just playing a bad game all around.
Well, they did, and I think –
But Kentucky played a good basketball game.
Kentucky was just so much more physical in the first
half.
Are
we a front-runner team?
No, I don't think so.
Because when they punched us, we never – punched back.
I think it just caught. I just think it caught Tennessee off guard.
I mean,
in a sense, I think they can get better.
Yeah, I mean, they just played a bad game. But like, I know I talked about it a lot last week. But like, going up there to Rupp was not going to be easy, and we saw it wasn't. They were ready. Like, you know, and obviously the fans traveled well for Tennessee. You know, a lot of Kentucky fans
sent
like some of the that's the most fans they've seen in a while there in Rupp. So it was, but it was up. It was an environment where the Rupp Arena, you know, that's somewhat of a hostile environment, and it was. And those fans were into it, and those guys came to play. Like, they were hungry after that LSU loss. They really wanted that win more than Tennessee wanted it.
It wasn't about refereeing. I will say this. I
mean, refereeing was poor.
You can say refereeing every game, though.
Right. I mean, look, it started off the game with P.J. Washington getting a charge 30 seconds into the basketball game on Grant Williams. But then I also think that there was disparity because, I mean, they went 16 minutes without a foul call. Kentucky did. And Tennessee was trying. They were down low. They were trying to draw the foul. I saw what they were doing. Grant Williams is on the floor, you know, every 2 minutes. It was a game where I don't think Tennessee – has lost its edge. I just finally think that they got humbled.
And that's good.
Right, but this is not a group that I don't think they have to be humbled, but I think it was a game where, okay, got popped in the mouth, let's see how you get back up. And that all starts tomorrow night with Vanderbilt. We'll take your calls on this too, 865-546-8200. Look, Tennessee's got a good basketball team. Kentucky's got a good basketball team. If you ask me to take, which team are you going to take, including bench, I take Tennessee right now. But Kentucky again, and this is the same kind of thing we've been talking about, Chance and Brandon, teams are finding ways to pop open on the three and they're draining them.
Tennessee or Duke, who are you taking?
Neutral court?
Yeah, sure. Wherever you want to play. Play it on the moon.
I said it last week. I said Duke's a better team, and Duke would beat Tennessee.
When
they're operating on all cylinders, I don't think anybody in the country can beat them. And if everybody's locked in, they're big three. I mean, and then you add Trey Jones, too. But if their big three are locked in, R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, and Zion, there's nobody can beat that team.
I think if they played five times, Tennessee could take two of them.
Yeah, but still, three out of five, seven-game series. Yeah, I'm giving it to Duke. And as much as I hate to say that, that doesn't mean, like, I'm secretly, you know, a Duke fan or something like that. No, I mean, I don't bring my bias into account. I want Tennessee to win it all. But if they come up against Duke and Duke is hot, it's going to – Tennessee would have to play a perfect game to beat Duke, and I think that's only to beat them by 8 to 10 points, perfect game. Duke could have they could go through and have a 7-minute scoring drought. We saw what happened with Louisville, and then they can turn it on and come back from 23. Like, Tennessee can't do that.
Right. Let's go to the phones. Who we got?
We got Penny.
Penny, what up, buddy?
Hey, you're Penny. On, my man.
What up, Penny?
I haven't heard from you guys. I haven't really had time, really, because of my job.
Yeah, what's up, man? It's been a while. Completely.
But I'm off today, and I'm listening to the radio, so I called to give some advice and some praise.
All right, I'm ready.
I will state this. Man, Tennessee plays really good defense. If North Carolina played defense like Tennessee and our offense was as capable as we are, we'd be the favorites to win the championship this year. So Tennessee's defense is top-notch, one of the best in the country, no far. Here's the criticism of Tennessee, unfortunately. Remember, especially nowadays, this is a guards league. If your guards can't step up and hit shots and your teams aren't afraid of your guards down the stretch, that's not going to bode well when it comes tournament time. That's the problem that Tennessee has to address moving forward. They're still going to be able to be ranked high, and they're going to have a good record going into the tournament because they play in the SEC, and they only really have to deal with Kentucky and LSU. But those are the things that Tennessee has to deal with.
No, you're absolutely right, and something to highlight what I was talking about, Bowden and Lamonte. I know John was talking about it before we came on, and here's something that stat in the two losses they've got this season, Bowden and Lamonte are combined 8 of 37 from the field and 2 of 23 from beyond three. So like you say, like yeah, your guard play. I mean, Jordan Bone, he's played okay, but he's not going to be the guy. It is on Bowden and Turner. I mean, if those guys ain't hitting and they're not hitting tournament time, it'll be another early exit. Guard play is huge in the tournament. We all know this. Guard play is always huge. Anybody who wins a championship, guard play is always huge.
Absolutely. So I kind of want to try to ward off those people who are going to purpose to discredit what I'm stating. I'm not a Tennessee hater. Again, I've stated it time before, and I'll state it again. Obviously, I'm a North Carolina fan. But I love the atmosphere when Tennessee is doing well in Tennessee. So I'm rooting for Tennessee, and I want Tennessee to make that first step. Imagine how awesome it would be for Tennessee to win a championship and to experience all of those things, especially me being a North Carolina fan. If there could, you know, begin some type of rivalry, that would be awesome for me. So I'm not the one that's all Penny's rooting for that. I'm just letting you know from experience, this is what the tournament has turned into. When we won a championship a couple of years ago, we started off bad because our defense was garbage. And then Roy Williams learned to develop those players with defense and then to rely on the offense. But Tennessee's halfway there. They already play good defense. But down the stretch, those guards have to be able to position and poise the team. So I'll be watching Tennessee to see how that works. I mean, hey, Can he make the team bounce back? Also, another thing that was different is, as much as I don't necessarily really respect Calipari, the second half adjustments, Barnes, yeah, he's got to take credit for that.
Yeah,
agreed.
I agree with that too. Like, you didn't come out, you didn't make the necessary adjustments. You actually looked a lot worse
But didn't he try, though? He took a timeout 53 seconds in.
Barnes was obviously, you know, mad about the way his team was playing. You know, like, it's not – he tried, but at the same time, like you say, it is on the coach, and he took a lot of blame in that presser today. He's got to make those adjustments, and they got to do something for those guys to come out. And we've seen them do that in games.
Penny, thank you, buddy. Hope you have a great off day, man. Appreciate you calling in.
All right, you guys.
Yeah, appreciate it,
buddy.
Penny.
Be well, brother. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to digest this a lot more. Aaron Torres is going to join us at 2:15. Lots more to talk about this weekend, but we are going to talk about this more. Tennessee took a dive in the AP poll.
Oh, yeah.
That was stupid.
I'll stay on blah, blah, blah.
That was stupid. Wait till we come back. It's optional. Seriously. Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. Chance, what is up with your San Antonio whatevers?
Yeah, man, they lost a tough one.
Getting 29,000 people in the Alamo Dome.
Yep.
Go Apollos, baby.
Yep. Yeah. Brandon's Apollos. Orlando Apollos took out my Commanders last night.
My Birmingham Iron.
You know, you heard Spurrier taking a nice little troll job still.
That's what he does.
Oh, that was funny.
I love it. I
thought it was great.
He said it was just as loud.
Just as loud.
Right.
A lot of people were reporting that he said
so
louder.
Many people got
and
mad.
That's
thought he said
not what
louder.
He said.
Yeah, no, that's what, that was like, okay, now y'all are just fetching for clicks and comments.
Oh, yeah.
Taking it out of context.
It's nice, though. AAF, kind of okay.
You watched it last night?
I watched it while I was working as much as I could.
Okay.
Watched a lot of that, the UFC is watching the All-Star game.
Dude.
His background on
Velasquez went down in 23.
Yeah.
His knee. Kane I don't Velasquez. Even know if it was his knee giving out. Wow. It was just him getting knocked, and then his knee kind of went the other way. Yeah. He got destroyed. Hell, I wouldn't step in the ring with Nagayu, whatever. Good Lord, that guy's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Absolutely not. You could probably pay me enough to go in there and take three or four shots, but I have to know the referee is going to step in, like, after the third or fourth shot.
Oh, yeah. Not going to do it.
Like, I'm not looking to go full CTE in a span of, like, 20 seconds.
I'm not doing it.
Oh, no.
I would jump in there. I'd jump in and take a couple shots for the right price.
Yeah, the right price.
Give me $300,000. I'll go in there. Yeah, go in there and take an ass whipping. Three hits. You only get three. The referee better step in.
Man, those hits, man.
I don't want the ground and pound.
Like a rag doll in there.
I didn't even watch. Who are we talking about?
It's UFC fights.
Yeah.
Some nice boxing on Friday night, too.
There was.
Brandt, did you see him knock out the Russian?
Yes, he
broke his neck.
Anytime a Russian goes down.
Anytime a Russian goes down, we're excited. Let's
boxing,
just be honest.
Yeah, let's
living in America.
Right. It was, you know, Friday night, I was looking forward to watching. We're going to get back to basketball here in just a second, but I was looking forward to watching. I thought Creed 2 was out. There were some other movies that were out.
Like out on DVD now?
No. I don't do
Blu-ray.
DVDs.
Is it Creed 2 or Rocky 8?
It's Rocky.
We're not
8.
Doing this again.
Rocky 8. The story continues.
Remember, we showed you the proof that it is part of the Rocky.
All right, whatever. But they had other movies that were available. But that they're trying to make you buy it for $20.
Really big weekend for you.
I'm not buying it for $20.
Daytona 500. You got NASCAR Minute coming up?
NASCAR was interesting yesterday.
Do you want to do it now?
No,
are you prepared?
I don't want to do it.
Okay.
No,
you got to tease the people. You got to tease the people.
We have to tease the folks.
You got
to
tease the folks.
What place did Bubba come in?
38th. And that's because he got caught up in a crash on, like, lap 30.
Mm.
So he had to ride around the whole time with a beat-up piece of...
My guy Joey Logano came in fourth.
Yeah, Joey did good yesterday.
Who won? I don't even know.
Denny.
Hamlin.
Yeah, yeah. Good race. Good for him.
He's
boom.
Comeback
player.
Comeback player of the year.
Blow out his knee playing pickup basketball.
Nah, man, I was watching the race.
Now he's back winning Daytona 500.
He did good yesterday.
We're in a bar as my second gig. You think the race was not on at this bar, the Daytona 500?
Like, that's true.
That's the, like, the Mecca, right?
Right.
Like, everybody was watching this race.
Yeah, yeah. Then they go to Atlanta next week.
It's really depressing that they start with the Daytona 500 and end at Miami.
Well, no.
Or, like, what, the Miami Homestead
400? Mid-year they go to, back to Daytona in July.
Well, I mean, that one doesn't matter. I'm saying.
Yeah, they go Homestead.
The very end race is some.
You can't race a super speedway as the last race of the year.
Why?
Because it's a free-for-all.
Mm. Wouldn't you want that for the last race?
No, not at all. No, you want competitive racing.
That's what the speedways offer, along with a few big wrecks and some entertainment.
Not anymore. Everybody was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to wreck. I'm tired of driving around today.
Might as well.
Everybody was.
And you're telling me that's not more entertaining than what Miami has
The ratings were up 8% compared to last year.
Oh.
It's a big jump.
Let's see. What are the ratings of Miami's best year compared to Talladega's worst year?
I don't keep up with Homestead.
That's what I'm saying. It's
you
not
get
a lot
of people watching because it's the last race of the year for the championship.
Yeah, so you should put it at a good track. That's all I'm saying.
Homestead is a good track.
No, it's not.
Oh, my God. Okay, NASCAR expert. You know a damn thing about
for the
Homestead.
Casual
you,
fan.
You just think it's Miami.
As a casual fan, expert. Is that for the casual fan? Is that a fun race to watch? No, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, because it's the last race. Okay. What do I'm you want? Saying, what do you want? The race, the last race of the season at Talladega?
It, no, make it the Brickyard 400. Make that the last race of the year.
No, the Brickyard's boring.
It's a cool track. At least.
Don't care if it's
people
a cool
at least
track.
Care. People at least care about
Brickyard's
it.
One of the most boring races of the year.
And you're saying Miami isn't?
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. The only reason it's not boring is because you're saying it's the last race. So by that logic, if you made the Brickyard the last race, it would be entertaining.
Homestead's a fun track.
Where's Homestead?
Miami.
Got you.
What about it is fun? They don't go that fast. It's not that. It's not the biggest track out there. There's really not much.
Brandon
crazy
comes back
stuff
on you on
happens.
This NASCAR
no,
today.
He's what's wrong with NASCAR because he doesn't know anything about it.
Ooh,
perhaps.
Ooh,
and you know what else is wrong with NASCAR? No one watches. So maybe they should come to the people.
Somebody was watching. They were up 8% in the ratings yesterday.
8% from what? They went from 100 to 108 fans watching. How about that? Big time jump.
He's just
big time
just
jump.
Bleeping all over NASCAR
he's
right now.
He's just poking the bear, which is cool. I mean, I don't care. You're not going to get a fight out of me.
Just bleeping all over NASCar.
If you're going up 8% after dropping 40 for the past like 6 years, then that's a drop in the bucket.
It's called progress, bro. It's called progress.
Well, like plugging the dam with a thumb.
Well, I would love to listen to you guys debate NASCAR.
Like, I don't feel like debating NASCAR today.
For the next 10 minutes. What Mike, about this poll Mike, position?
Mike Ross replied, talking about the poll.
Yes.
He said, Duke is ahead of Gonzaga, who they lost to with same losses also. They are having to go by the eye test. It will work itself out in a few weeks. Brian Matheny says maybe that chip on their shoulder comes back and they play like it.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's that they're going to lose like what you said. I don't think this team is like they're not just like now they suck. You know, they've been exposed. Now, was some facets of where they struggle. Yeah, like, you know, people can see that if the guards ain't hitting, if you neutralize our guards, you probably can have a you can run away with the game versus Tennessee. You know, get physical with Admiral and Grant and Cal down low. They didn't have I'm talking about Grant, Cal or Admiral couldn't guard PJ Washington.
I agree with that. And they also couldn't guard the three.
Yeah, and they also couldn't guard the three. So, and that's been a problem that we've said, hey, it looks like that's starting to metastasize. Like, you know, it's getting a little worse each game. It's going to build up. Oh, wow, we're in Rupp, and we can't guard the three at all. So you saw that weakness of their game right now. But I don't think there's any reason to panic.
No, I agree. No reason to panic. Look, if they come out, we're about to take this call. If they come out on Saturday against LSU – and they play like crap, and they don't play motivated, then, okay, there's a reason to panic. But right now, there's not a reason to panic because you get Vanderbilt tomorrow
Let's
night.
Relax for now.
Yeah, let's go to the phone line. So we got
Ryan.
Ryan, what's up, buddy? Good afternoon to you, my man.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going
to talk to me.
Try and keep my emotions low. As we all know, the rankings don't mean a hell of a whole lot at this point.
No.
Because Tennessee's going to be a number one or two seed, but I'd just like to point out the bias that whoever these yokels are that are making these 1-5, I was thinking about it in college football, college basketball. I don't remember a team losing to a top five team and going from 1 to 5, considering the losses of the other schools above us. We've lost to 2 top 5 teams. We got dominated Saturday night. I'm a big Vol fan, and I can admit it.
Yeah.
They almost shot 70%. But what warrants a 1-5 considering the teams that are above us and their losses, respectively? Virginia to Dukie twice, Duke to Cuse, and Gonzaga, and Kentucky. Like, help me out here, guys, because I'm not understanding. I'm pretty upset.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty pissed off at the ranking too. Like you said, it doesn't mean anything, you know, for right now. But at the same time, yeah, we knew Duke was going to jump to number one. I accept that.
Yeah, that was coming.
Gonzaga. I kind of don't see that, where how they just, you know, jump. Virginia, and then you got Kentucky loses to LSU. Now, if you're saying, yeah.
They've lost to Alabama as well.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yes, of course they beat Tennessee, so I guess they should be in front of Tennessee, I guess. But at the same time, if they wouldn't have lost to LSU, they're coming into this game with expectation, oh, this is like a top three team. This is a 1-3 matchup.
Right.
And if it's a 1-3 on paper before heading into the game, that Tennessee wouldn't have dropped, but like, to, you know, the 3 or 4 spots. So I don't understand it either. It's a lot of, you know, recency bias there, especially with Gonzaga.
It's a lot of geography bias.
And, yeah, it's also that too. And I think it's what we talked about with Aaron. And I forgot who else we talked about last week. But, like, people still can't grasp the fact that Tennessee has a good basketball team. And they couldn't grasp the fact that Tennessee was the number one team in the country. And I think that's where, you know, you're getting
Let's be real and honest here, too. Duke was down 23 to Louisville.
Yeah.
And if Louisville doesn't start getting the shakes during the game and turning it over every other possession, Duke would have lost probably by 13 to 14 points
exactly.
to Louisville last Tuesday or Wednesday. I mean, I get that they won. It's the biggest comeback. I get all that, and good for them. But I'm also saying this, too, like Saturday night, I watched Gonzaga play St. Mary. Gonzaga's playing St. Mary's. The only two tough opponents that Gonzaga technically has played this year are North Carolina and Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost one of them.
And Tennessee.
And Tennessee.
No. They played Tennessee. Right. The other games they had were Illinois, Arizona, and Washington.
No, it's a bunch of bull bleep. No, it really
like
is.
In the SEC.
I thought Tennessee would drop to at worst number 3 because this is Kentucky and it was on the road in Rupp. I really didn't. I don't see it. I don't know why they dropped to the number 5. I felt like.
So, hey, can I ask one more question, guys? Jump in real quick. Coming back to Knoxville, they're not going to shoot 70% from the floor. There's a little exaggeration there, but they shot the lights out. I don't see us guarding them down low. I mean, I know Grant and I know Alexander's, you know, those are pretty tall guys, but what do we do to stop the interior dominance that we saw? They're not going to shoot from the outside in Knoxville with our crowd and our dynamic and our, you know, obviously we got to play better, but what do we do to stop them inside? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Ron.
Run a better defense, switch over to the zone quicker.
Yep. Well, possibly. I just think it's got to be just better defense. I really think that we've said this for a while.
Tennessee's getting lost.
When you didn't have him last year in the tournament against Loyola Chicago, that you saw you needed him. Kyle Alexander has to play well. He really does. And I don't even mean he has to score. We've said it before, rebounds, blocks, just being active and aggressive on the boards and with his defense. He has to play well, and he kind of, you know, is a very important piece to what they do on defense. Like, so Kyle has to be better. They've got to rotate better on defense and maybe go to the double teams quicker. Like, there's no reason P.J. Washington should have been having his way. It should have been some double teams and just some recognizable switches going on, and it just wasn't.
I agree with that. Also, we've seen the problem where a lot of these teams are getting open in the corner. And I don't know if that's from either a mismatch or not a switch off. And you saw that a couple times Saturday night where Tennessee would go man, but they wouldn't switch off the ball screen. So when that happens, Kentucky was wide open in the corner.
Yeah.
I swear, I think it was 3 or 4 times, and they were just hitting threes, and they were draining them. And then another problem you see is that where you have Admiral trying to guard – and we talked about this last week. Who was going to guard P.J. Washington on a consistent basis? And you saw what they did. They went with Admiral down low to try to guard PJ, and PJ was making that one move, and it was the turnaround, and it absolutely, you know, he beat up on Admiral Saturday night with that move. And I think at one time he had, you know, he had the first 12 points for Kentucky, but then he comes out in the second half as well, and he's just able to control the paint. And he does not have a body that he should be controlling the paint every possession. And,
no.
And look, Kyle Alexander fouled out with 8 minutes to go in the game. Let me tell you something. Kyle Alexander wouldn't have been a real factor in the game after the first 2 minutes of the second half. He wasn't there. He wasn't getting in position. I will say that I saw a couple times where Kentucky was all over his back on the defensive end trying to rebound. They did not call it. I still look at it in a sense, though. Tennessee has got to get better on the switch off. They got to get better down low in the paint with how they're going to guard. And you have to wonder what defensive scheme they're going to try to run now. You know, they got Vanderbilt's going to come in. They're going to try to shoot the ball all over the court behind the three. And I know we got a call. We're about to go to it. But then you have LSU as well. It's going to be interesting. We're going to break all this down and more. We're going to take a break now.
Philly, hold right there. Yeah. We'll get you when we come back on the other side. You'll be hearing from the mayor of South Knoxville.
He'll give us
his thoughts on what happened and the loss at Rupp over the weekend. Listen, it's optional.
Lots more to discuss.
Right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Stay with us.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. Welcome back to the neighborhood. Running along on this Monday, this get up Monday.
Yesterday, hey, man.
Was hangover Saturday or
yes,
Sunday.
And I know we're kind of pissed off. I'm pissed off about the polls, pissed off about the loss. That is one thing I hate is losing to Kentucky. And I had a bad taste in my mouth. Went to the watch party at Hops and Hollers. Shout out to everybody that I saw at the watch party. It was a great time.
Did you get lit?
It was a lituation. Had a good time. Went out there with my girlfriend. Saw John and Cody. Everybody was there. All the crew. So, like I said, I saw a bunch of our listeners. So that was good. Hung out with them. It was packed house too. But I remember saying, like, man, I just feel like they're gonna lose tonight before I even walked out the door, and that sucks. But
don't wish that evil upon me, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, I know. But
you keep that evil.
But we
at
can't
home
fret.
Next
like,
time.
But I'm serious. Like, but now I'm like, hey, we gotta relax because we knew it was gonna be tough going into Rupp. Like, anybody who thought it wasn't going to be tough, we're not Duke.
Not yet. Let's go to Philly. Philly, what up, buddy? Good afternoon to you. Happy Monday, bud.
What do you say, guys?
Man, good
What's
to hear
up,
from
Phil?
You,
well, this is recovering that butt whipping we had Saturday night.
Yeah. I know, and it. You know what? It's tough, and I understand that. It's got to be tough for Tennessee fans, but y'all still have to look back at it. You went 85 days as the number one team in the country, almost 3 months. I think that voters were waiting for a chance to knock Tennessee out of the top three. I think they've been waiting on that opportunity. They finally got it. I think the best thing out of this whole situation is you lost to a top eight team, and now you can fight back into it. You claw your way back into a top three. Look,
yeah.
If Tennessee does what they need to do, if they beat LSU this weekend, I have no doubt that they're going to beat Ole Miss. I have no doubt that they'll take care of Auburn, Mississippi State without Nick Weatherspoon. It's going to be tough for Mississippi State, and then you have that Kentucky rematch, and that could be that game against Kentucky towards the end of the year. Could be for a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, and I think Tennessee would have better luck at home than they would on the road.
Well, all honesty, guys, we're still in it, but LSU's in the driver's seat. I mean,
yep.
If they beat Tennessee Saturday, they're going into the regular season no matter what Kentucky does.
I agree, and LSU's playing some good basketball right now. Georgia gave them a test this past weekend. I still think LSU is really good. Oh, but I say this as well. They gave up a lot of shots to Georgia from behind the arc, and especially the dribble drive penetration. LSU is a team that can get beat. And also, you know, I think what works in Tennessee's favor, it's an 11 o'clock tip on Saturday. It's
not I do agree with you, man. I think we'll play LSU tougher than we did Kentucky. I really do. But the, Kentucky was back into a corner. They lost that game the other night, and their season was on the line. Kentucky had to win that game, or the season was over.
No, I agree completely. And that's the biggest part of it. Like, you know, look, here's what I thought about Tennessee. I was sitting there with about 16 minutes to go in the second half, and I was like, okay, we're about to find out how good Tennessee is. I know they're down by 20 points right now. We're about to find out how good they are over these next 6 minutes. Well, what'd they do? They come back and they got it within right at 10 points. And yeah. Once that happened, I was like, okay, this basketball team is going to be just fine because they just played 6 minutes of basketball that you know that they can play for the whole season when they put it together. And that's when I kind of thought, okay, the Volunteers are going to be fine. They're going to come back out, handle business against Vanderbilt. And this, you know, in Philly, I'd love your opinion on this too, though. This is a grown team, man, and they understand adversity. They went down to Bama last year and got their ass whipped by 28.
Yeah. That's the only bad game they had. Well, Auburn here was a pretty Tennessee didn't play well last year, but Tennessee had two farts on their schedule last year.
And they lost by 28. And what'd they do? They came back out and won 5 out of 6 games.
Yeah. But y'all were talking about guard player. I know that's the key, but yeah. Tennessee is one short rim protector inside, and then people are taking advantage of it now. I mean, if Alexander don't come to play, then we have nobody else to put in there to help out to protect the rim.
And I agree because Barnes was talking about that today too as well on the defensive front. You know, Pons is out there for his aggressiveness on defense. Jalen Johnson, the only way he's going to play if he plays good defense.
Derek Walker
was not involved.
Well, Fulkerson too. Barnes talked about those role players. They have to understand that when they get the limited minutes that they do, those minutes are key, and they have to capitalize and be able to, you know, help out the team, because if they're not helping the team, he's not going to give them the minutes. He has made that. I like how he said that in his presser today. He pretty much put his role players on notice. He's pretty much letting Fulkerson, Derek Walker, like I said, Jalen Johnson, he's letting those guys know, if you're not, you know, out there, you're not playing defense, you're not giving it your all each possession, you're not contributing to what we're trying to do, then I'm not going to play you because there's no point, because you're hurting the team at this point.
Would you take DJ Burns' red shirt off and play him? I mean, this is the year you're going to have to do something.
Too far into the season now.
I don't know, Phil. If I feel like if you're going to do that, you should have did that to start a conference play. But, I mean, I'm kind of like with Trey, but I don't know. You're right. I mean, like, this is kind of your window. Like, I don't think that Tennessee's going to regress, and I don't think that Tennessee's going to be bad again. Like, I think Barnes has them in the right direction, and it's going to be, you know, just blue skies from here on out. Like, they're only going to get better each year, especially with the five-star Josiah James coming in next year. But this is like your window of experience, Admiral Grant. They're probably going to the draft. Admiral and Grant, probably going to the league.
Grant's going to be tough for
me. They're both getting, like, really good draft grades right now.
But my problem right now, Philly, and we'll talk about DJ Burns for a minute, if Jalen Johnson and Derek Walker can't give you any good minutes, I don't see – and I don't think this is going to happen, but I don't see why not. I would love to see another big body in this lineup with this team right now.
Protect the rim, bang, and just knock the hell out of Kentucky's players. I mean, we didn't even do that there tonight.
Right. I mean,
no retaliation at all. When they come down here, I won't see some of them Kentucky guys on the floor.
Well, I can agree with that, but I also say this, too, is if Tennessee wants to come out and run the 2-3 zone, I would say a player like DJ Burns, you could throw in there and be able to run the 2-3 zone and clog up the paint. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it would be – look, you're not going to have another – you're not going to have a better Tennessee team right now in the next 3 to 4 years than the one that you've got right now on the court. And
there you go,
personally,
Paul, this is the year.
Personally, I think you have to do anything. It's just like if Jeremy Pruitt, you know, he had somebody that he thought all year, you know, he was going to redshirt, but he thought in the back of his mind, you know what, that guy could help us maybe win a game or two. There's no doubt in my mind that Jeremy Pruitt would yank his redshirt and put him into the game. So I kind of feel the same way about the basketball squad. When we're not getting production from Walker and from Johnson, I think you have to slit somebody else in there, and I mean, I'd love to see it. I think Rick Barnes is under that old school mentality where I'm not going to burn one if I don't have to burn one.
What's worse, guys? I'll get off here. What's worse, Tennessee's backup inside post players or Tennessee's quarterback on the football team? See you.
Damn. Tennessee's quarterback football team.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the quarterback.
Because I thought Fulke has the ability to get up and get around.
I'm definitely going to go with the quarterback. Quality call by
Philly. That was a great call by Philly. Thank you, Philly. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the first hour. Aaron Torres is going to join us at 2:15 in the second hour. Marching on. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional. Just sitting here. Sorry about my Alabama education.
Alabama.
Thanks to my producer. Thinks he got all this and that from Maryville.
Number one public school district in the state senior year.
Stop it. There's only one damn school in your area.
The whole school district was ranked number one
in
the state.
There's only one school.
That is not true. I don't even know what that is.
What is there, like two schools there?
There's like three or four elementary schools, two middle
schools. They're not learning anything besides coloring books and ABCs.
If it's voted the number one school district in the state, I don't know what you're asking. Like, what's your point you're trying to make here?
I'm calling your school district out.
So being what? Number one? Lamar Alexander went there, you know, sitting U.S. senator.
I don't care. Jamarcus Russell went to high school in Mobile.
My point.
T. Martin went to high school.
I don't know what you're trying to accomplish here by saying.
Cook.
Steve Cook.
Apple.
Yeah.
Went to school. The new guy. In the Mobile area.
The new guy? Roy Kramer, former SEC commissioner.
You talking about the new guy for Apple now?
Yeah, Tim Cook.
Come on, man. He sucks.
Tim Cook.
Oh, man.
But he does, though. Like, nobody likes him. Everybody wishes Steve Jobs was still around, obviously. When Cook comes out, you don't get the same like feeling when Steve Jobs used to come out.
Cook went to Auburn.
It's just like, oh man, he's not going to have something.
He doesn't have his black turtleneck tucked into his jeans
also
with
not
no belts.
Also true. He doesn't
allegedly
doesn't have the turtleneck.
We don't know.
Allegedly,
I don't know. Do you know him?
I met him once. He was nice.
See there.
I mean, what do you expect out of this? You come out and you attack the Alabama educational system.
Yeah, I said it's worse than what I had. Yes, I stand by that.
Yeah, it probably is.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, there we go.
We didn't get Chick-fil-A and stuff like that every day from our lunch at the preppity Maryville High School. We had hard nose. You know what? The best kind of pizza we grew up on? That good pizza we got in that public school cafeteria.
The square slices, yeah.
Yeah.
Every Friday at Maribel,
square
baby.
Slices always nice. Square
the fish,
slices.
The fish sandwiches.
No, nah, square slices of pizza.
The square
slices. I really liked the
pizza,
fish
corn,
sandwiches.
Okra. Every Friday at Maribel High
pizza,
School.
Pizza, corn, and okra.
Okay. Probably got their pizza from, you know, somewhere real, real nice and swanky. Brought it in.
Are you trying to say Maribel's a little bougie? Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean,
Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
Because if you are.
That's what it sounded like.
Hey, I have some breaking news. I'm sorry.
The purge has begun.
Proceed, sir. Proceed.
Breaking news. John Cusack will be coming to Knoxville.
I love
June
21st. Cusack.
Really?
For
what?
Movie watching and Q&A of the movie Say Anything.
Oh, thank you, God. I'm definitely going to be there.
He will be.
John Cusack.
Sorry, T. Carp. I hope you know I love you, man. I'm just kidding about Farrell. Farrell.
I'm a big John Cusack
shot
guy.
Another shot.
How's Farrell a shot? I don't even know what the hell Farrell means.
I thought you said Ferryville.
No, Ferryville.
Like, man, that's not,
he will
that's
be
not
in
cool.
town at the Municipal Auditorium.
Really?
And he will be holding a Q&A and a live screening. I mean, it's live, whatever. Of Say Anything on a big, huge screen.
In Knoxville?
In Knoxville.
At the convention center?
John Cusack.
The Civic. Coliseum.
The Civic Center.
You said the Municipal. That's Nashville.
John Cusack, baby.
You were just
he
throwing
is
me
the
off.
Man.
I was like, the Municipal? That's Nashville.
Oh, excuse me. I have some other breaking news. Other breaking news. Thank you. According to Jason Pace on Twitter, he just sent me a screenshot of the 2019 best school districts in Tennessee. Number one, Oak Ridge School District. Number two, Williamson County School. Shout out to the 615.
Which year was this?
I just said it.
I'm going to cut you off.
2019.
Exactly my point. I
and
said when I was a senior
three,
in high school.
Number three, Maryville.
Yeah. So my point.
Four and a half.
Brandon's defense.
I did say
he
my
did
senior
say,
year.
Okay, no, excuse me. Total schools for Maryville, 7.
Yeah.
Total schools for Williamson, schools. 42.
Yeah, there you go.
And Oak Ridge has 8.
Okay. I don't know what that proves. I do know what I said
proves
is factual.
Good.
Factual that they were the number one school district my senior year.
Okay.
Won the state championship in the biggest classification of football. Had the highest test scores in the state. I mean, who wouldn't want to be? We're like the New England
Chill
Patriots.
Chill out, Virginia. You're not
the
number
New
one
England
anymore,
Patriots,
okay?
All right.
It's okay. It's okay, Virginia. You're not number one anymore. Don't take it
Who
too hard.
Who are we talking about, Virginia?
What the hell are you guys
what are
talking,
you talking
about? What are you doing?
I'm just trying to make reference to the top
what
25.
What is going on right now?
Danny Holbert says, Oak Ridge represent. That's right, Oak Ridge. Where's Oak?
What happened? Oak Ridge? My man. Really? It's just like, you know, 15 minutes from us here in Knoxville.
Okay. I'm still learning the area. I see the sign. It says Oak Ridge, yeah. Maryville.
You got the Y-12 plant and everything.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Trey.
Oh, is that where the
city that glows.
The city, yeah.
That where the bullets are made?
No. That's where the nukes were made, baby. They
Trey
were
Wallace.
World War II.
How long have you been living here now?
This is what I was talking about. Alabama education.
I feel like
failed
you know where Oak Ridge is after five
months. Well, I kind of do. I see the exits all the time. I've just never been to Oak Ridge before. Y'all going to get off this ass.
I'm
telling you.
At least you admitted it, I guess.
Alabama education failed you.
Okay. All right. Time for a spelling bee.
I didn't say that he did. NASCAR Minute.
NASCAR Minute coming up next hour. Next Minute. Ass. It's optional.